Hello and welcome to One Dry Kiss. This podcast may contain language that is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. There is also copious talks about sex, hockey, and hygge. So, if any of those things bother you, please pass on this one and we'll see you next time. Are you ready for One Dry Kiss? Yes. Yes.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, a cussy irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies, where we recap a sparkling Hallmark movie, an episode. I'm here with my loquacious co-host, Tamara Cosio.
And I am here with my sparkling, so hard you can barely look at her directly, co-host Corinne Eddy.
Ooh.
You sparkle, girl. You sparkle.
Sparkle, sparkle, shine.
And this is our second episode into our June Swoon series.
Ooh.
Yay!
It was Tamara's pick this time.
Oh, and do I have a pick for you. Today, we are doing Taking a Shot at Love, and my June Swoon object of affection is Mr. Luke McFarlane.
Ooh.
Swoon.
The way he looks at me with those eyes that say, I love you, I just know that he loves me.
I know. Have you seen his eyelashes, too? Mm. I'm so jealous. Like, I've looked and gazed into his eyes while I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, holy balls, look at those eyelashes. What is that product? Is that extensions? Like, is that natural? Do you use Latisse?
Probably.
Ugh. Jealous. Ugh. I know, right? I use so much mascara over the years that I have a thinning eyelash problem. So I am very jealous of Luke. He also has that chiseled chin.
Oh. So what you're saying is he's kind of okay looking.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, generally speaking, I would not see him and be like, oh, my lands. Because, you know, he's a very good looking man.
Yes,
but
he is.
Not necessarily one that has, you know, the standard features that I'm just like, yowza. But there's this one part in the movie where I just saw him and I'm like, oh, that's it. I love you.
While we were getting ready for this movie, I was watching it and I was like, you know what? He is so hunky. And I thought, I wonder what he looks like with his shirt off. And so I made the mistake of Googling topless Luke McFarlane.
Why didn't I think of that? Damn it. Why was it bad? Was it good?
You don't want to do it.
So, what did you see?
Oh, things I cannot unsee. So, because I think I used the word topless instead of, like, shirtless, I got some pictures of him with his head photoshopped onto naked men with their dongs. With their dongs out.
Oh. Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That would be disturbing. On my head on a naked dong picture.
I was like, wait, this isn't what I signed up for. There were some actual legit just shirtless photos of him, but there'd be like, whoa, and then, oh, and then, oh.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm probably going to look up topless and shirtless as soon as we're done here.
Oh, my gosh. Shirtless Luke McFarlane is much more what one wants from the search. Hello. Hi.
I did also take a picture that I'm sending to you.
Oh.
While I was watching this movie and taking my notes. I paused it and I really enjoyed this screenshot that I will put on social media because it's a combination duck face, hey, how you doing, ladies? Expression that I don't think he meant to make at all, but I caught it and I like loved it and laughed at the same time. So I wanted to share it with you.
I see Luke McFarlane and he is talking to his romantic counterpart, Alexa Penavega, who plays Jenna. And he definitely has the duck face going on and he looks good doing it. That's a find.
Thank you. I know. I was really pleased with myself and I could never, ever probably pause it at that same exact spot again. So I thought I must capture this and send it to her. But it puts me in mind of Tangled, you know, when Ryder is talking the girl and he's like, how you doing? And he like looks up at her with that winky eye face. Like it reminded me of that. And I enjoyed that immensely.
He'd make a good Ryder. Oof.
Ooh, yeah.
What fun facts do you have for us today?
So many fun facts.
Oh.
Yep. So many fun facts.
How many fun facts?
A lot. A lot. I can't even tell you. There's so many. Bullet points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 maybe.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Screenwriter Julie Wolfe wanted the town to be based on her real hometown of Avon, Connecticut. So this is set in Avon, quote-unquote, Connecticut, also known as Canada. And the opening shot of the movie was Connecticut, even though it was filmed in Canada, which often happens in Hallmark movies. And do we want to share that this is a redo? That we tried recording this once upon a time, and it just wasn't our finest hour, so we decided we'd hamper it and use it later.
We are doing a little bit of a rehash here, but whenever you tell me things, it's fresh to me every time, Tamara.
I am certified fresh on One Dry Kiss. But the reason why I'm mentioning that is because that's like a pretty known fact now that we are like kind of deep into the podcast series. Uh-huh. Like we've done this so many times. So at the time when I made these fun facts, I'm like, wow, it's supposed to be in Connecticut, but it's actually filmed in Canada. That's like every single pretty much Hallmark movie we've seen up until
For sure.
So Hallmark not a fun town. Fact for me now necessarily, but it was then when I first wrote it. And Avon, Connecticut is a real place.
Oh.
The leading lady is Alexa Peña Vega. She's a very talented lady. She plays the piano, is a gymnast, and speaks Spanish fluently. She is married to a Mr. Carlos Peña Jr., and they combined their last name after their marriage, hence the Peña Vega. Mrs. Peña Vega was actually pregnant when she filmed this movie. Not very pregnant because I was trying to spy a little baby bump and they hit it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And whenever we got in a glance of kind of her abdominal area, her tummy was flat, so.
Yes. Flatter very than flat. Mine, and I am not pregnant. She was a child actress who starred as Carmen Cortez in the Robert Rodriguez film Spy Kids from 2001. And I was super excited to hear this fact. So after I learned this, I went back and tried to watch Spy Kids just to see what her performance was like when she was younger and accidentally watched Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Not the
for
same.
Longer than I care to admit. No, I know this. Longer than I care to admit before I made the connection that, oh no, this isn't Spy Kids just because it's a kids movie from around the same genre with kids superheroes. And so I stopped it and looked at Spy Kids and was pretty impressed with her performance.
Yeah.
But not more impressed than learning that she was in one of my favorite movies back in the day, the 1996 thriller Twister, where Alexa Peña Vega plays a young Joe, who as an adult in that movie was played by Helen Hunt. I remember seeing this movie when it first came out in the movie theaters, if you remember back in the day. She was a great little actress. She was stuck in a Twister. She had to perform like she was fearing for her life. She saw her dad get blown away. Spoiler. I should have said spoiler first. It's only the first 5 minutes of the movie. So if you have 5 minutes to spare, you can see Alexa Peña Vega acting her little 4-year-old keister off in that movie and doing a great job about it.
Aww.
And then fun facts about Luke McFarland. He has a twin sister.
Luke McFarland.
I know. Let's just... Luke McFarland. Nom, 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 nom.
Swoon.
He has his twin sister and plays the cello. And back in a good chunk of the early aughts, or 2006 to 2011, he played Scotty Wendell on the show Brothers and Sisters.
Ooh.
And Life Imitates Art, because in that show he was gay and then actually came out as being gay in 2008.
Yay! And I gotta say that I always fall for the gay ones the hardest, so I'm not surprised.
And finally, last fun fact, he is a skilled woodworker and is rumored to have made his own furniture and renovations in his home in L.A., literally a walking Hallmark honkin' movie.
Oof.
I'm just imagining him in his garage, you know, like using a wood plane on that wood and just like smoothing the holy heck out of it with all sweaty and chips glistening and sticking to his body.
Shirtless. Shirtless. Shirt,
of course. I mean, shirtless, topless.
No topless. Oh, no.
He's a cello playing, woodworking.
He can play the cello for me any day. What if he makes his own cellos?
Ooh. Oh. Do you have a synopsis for us?
Well, yes, indeed I do. Mm-hmm. Jenna, worried about her struggling ballet studio, reluctantly takes on Coop, a hockey star, as a rehab client for his injury. In the process, relationships are formed and lives are changed.
Is that a carefully curated, artisanally?
Yes, it is. Beautifully crafted by yours truly, like Luke McFarlane's woodwork. So, are you going to share with us about Jenna?
Oh, yes. So, we're doing it a little different now because before, when we first started, we were doing a character analysis in addition to the synopsis and fun facts. So, this is going to be a little deviation. My character analysis is of Jenna. Jenna is fine. She loves competition. Bright colors, is open to new ideas, especially around business.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dear listener, I think that Tamara's lying to us. She's leading us down a garden path of lies.
I am so lying. All of that is completely untrue. She does not like competition. She's not super open to new ideas, and her world is definitely beige. But Jenna lives in Avon, Connecticut. She came back to her hometown with the intention of fixing up and selling her family home, but she fell in love with the area and stayed, ultimately opening her own ballet studio. Ooh. She was once a prima ballerina, but the reason she stopped is shrouded in mystery, and she does not want to talk about it. Thank you very much. Her studio is starting to struggle, and now she's tasked with trying to keep it afloat while competing with the competition dance school. Dun, dun, dun. And do you have a character analysis of Mr. Luke McFarlane or Ryan Cooper?
Why, yes, I do. Coop is a New York Rangers hockey star. He's white, 6'2", muscular, with a square jaw, short brown hair, and a charming smile. And sparkling blue eyes.
With lashes that are to die for.
Hockey is his everything, but he's been out of the game recovering from a high ankle sprain. He's unable to play hockey, except for video games, and is feeling frustrated and discouraged. His coach is threatening to kick him off the team if he doesn't recover. And then I will talk about Cousin Terry, the bridge between Jenna and Coop.
Good old Cousin Terry.
Cousin Terry is Jenna's cousin, and he is also sports agent of our friend Coop. Terry has dinner with Jenna when he's in her town scouting the Wolf Pack, the New York Rangers minor league team. He talks with her about Coop's injury and how Coop is having a hard time recovering. Jenna sympathizes. It's a hard injury to come back from, she says. Suddenly, Terry has a light bulb moment. Ding! But you did go back out on stage, he says, with the dawning realization that Coop's goose might not be cooked after all. What did you do to rehab it? She explains that she used ballet fundamentals to rebuild her ankle from the ground up. I've got a couple of dancer friends in New York who train professional football players using the same techniques. It works. Suddenly there is hope in Terry's heart, where previously there was despair.
I love your despair retelling. I'm like in it. I'm like, and then what happened, Corinne? Then what happened?
Well, let me tell you. The next day, Terry is at Coop's house, which does have a golden jack on the mantelpiece. They like to put giant jacks in Hallmark movies, and frequently you can spot the giant jack in a scene in any given Hallmark movie.
Is that like an Easter egg?
I don't know, but it's kind of funny because he'll be like, oh, there they are in his office. There's a giant jack on the desk, or oh.
Oh, my God. God,
in her living room, there's a giant jack on the bookcase.
That's so fun, except I might not be paying attention to the movie if I'm like, jack, 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 jack. I'm kind of a bird dog that way.
We do our next one, and it's just like, I tell my portions of the story, and you've redubbed yours to Tamara and the Hunt for the Giant Jack.
There was no jack in this scene. Back to you, Corinne. You say your piece. There was also no jack in this scene. Back to you, Corinne.
The next day, Terry is at Coop's house pitching his most excellent idea. You've exhausted all the manly options. Now it's time for you to try one last thing. Ballet! And then Coop steals my heart when he says, is this the part where you tell me to become someone's ice dancing partner and we try out for the Olympics?
And why do you love that part so much, Corinne?
It's a beautiful reference to the 1990s classic film, The Cutting Edge. You watch rom-coms, Coop. Our love was obviously meant to be.
Yes, The Cutting Edge. I could not believe that reference. I'm like, wow. Wow. Way to cut it out of left field there, Coop. Nice. Nicely done.
I know. Oh, Coop and I, we're ready for each other.
I bet you are.
But that's a story for another day.
This is a Hallmark romance recap, Corinne. I might need to remind you of that. We don't do that here. We don't do that.
Oh, it's not about my romantic life with fictitious characters?
Maybe a bonus episode? Maybe we could do like a bonus episode where you can explore that? I mean, I'm...
Corinne's romantical fanfic? Yeah. Coop is throwing disdain at his manager when Terry essentially double dog dares him to try it out. Terry then convinces Jenna to train him, which wasn't easy as she's very averse to change. Tamara.
I like to keep the people guessing. In my dramatic retellings of the story, I like to give a little false information, you know, just to keep it spicy.
Ooh, it's like a Hallmark mystery. Nice.
Ooh.
But she's pushed into it due to her landlord raising the rent and needing the money. And Terry arranges for Coop to stay in her guest house. Jenna is getting her guest house ready for Coop when bestie Erin rushes up the stairs. I got your message and I'm so excited, she says. Coop's one of my favorite players. It becomes very evident that Jenna has no idea who Coop is. And when Erin enthusiastically shows her a pic of him, the only comment Jenna has is, clearly he has veneers. Jenna, do not accuse my Luke McFarlane of having veneers. No, but I'll take his teeth any way they come. Erin, disappointed, flops on the couch, and we move to the next scene. Coop rides off in the car that Terry arranged for him, looking like a petulant child. He is wrapped up in deep thoughts like, ballet sucks, and this is totally lame, when he receives an email titled, Cottage Access from Jenna. What kind of info did this email have?
Hey, sorry, I'm running a little late. One of my dancers left late. I will be there shortly to show you around. There is a key under the planter. Please let yourself in. So Coop gets this message and gets dropped off in this really nice two-story craftsman-style house. Mm. As he gets dropped off, he looks at the front of the house and says, yeah, nice place. Terry did me right. He walks up and I just have to say, Coop, you knew you were staying in the guest house. And honey, this is not the guest house unless the main house is a palatial chateau.
I know, like the word cottage access, does that look like a cottage to you? Guest house,
I mean, he's
cottage.
A famous sports star, maybe that's how he wrote, like that's a cottage to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is on a big, vast, like parcel of land, so perhaps there might be like a bigger house. The palatial chateau just might be like off in the distance, out of eye shot. So, I mean, give Coop a pass, but he runs up to the patio. He looks under the planter, and mind you, there was quite a few planters there, and he only looked under one and was like, the key must not be there. So he, in turn, looks under the floor mat, finds the key, yes, opens the door, lets himself in.
And you know she's not living in a city, because would you or I leave our key under a fucking doormat?
No. And everybody's like, oh, but it's, you know, out in the boondocks and it's a small town and, you know, people just don't do that here. And I'm like, and that is the start of every single true crime podcast that I've ever heard in my whole entire life. It was a small town. Nobody locked their doors. And oh, wait, look, something horrible happened. Which brings me to my next point.
Ooh.
Is that Jenna drives up. She gets out of her car. She's having a hunky-dory day. She opens the door. She kind of hears the TV blaring off in the background. And she just says, hello, like very nonchalantly. And I'm like, oh, honey, I would be outside grabbing a cord of wood, ready to defend myself if I heard somebody in my house that I was not expecting. She does not choose to do that. She just goes through the entryway into the living room to find Ryan Cooper, feet propped up, hockey on the TV, Chinese takeout litter around him. And she says, you must be Ryan Cooper. And he stands up. And this, dear friends, is the moment I utterly fell in love with Mr. Luke McFarlane.
Oh,
he does the cutest "Aw, shucks, this is me" smile while he inadvertently like kind of gestures to himself and shrugs at the same time. And I don't know why that is when I was just like, swoon.
Yes.
It was just that cute everyday guy. Like, I'm here. Hey. And he does a hockey player good, a just regular guy good. You wouldn't hurt me if you found me in your house eating Chinese food. Coop says, "Do you always enter without knocking?" And Jenna says, "To my own house? Yes. Oh, no. Did you think this was the guest house? No. This is my house." So she shows him to the fully furnished, tastefully decorated place above the garage that looks like a garage, in Ryan's defense. He says, "Wait a second. You told me that the key was under the flower pot, but which, by the way, it wasn't. It was under the floor mat because, oh, shit, because that's your house. And that wasn't where I was supposed to stay." Mm-hmm. He finally clicks and relents and realizes he is staying in that place above the garage. And he says, your house is really nice. So by any chance, do you want to do a switcheroo?" And she says, oh, definitely not. And then pauses and for some reason says, "You always get what you want, don't you?" And I felt myself that it seemed unfair for saying that because he's not getting what he wants. And he even says that, "No, I'm not getting anything that I want right now." So I just was interested why Jenna made that assumption.
I just think that, you know, having the gall to suggest that they do a swaparoo so that she lives in the cottage above the garage versus her own house is pretty gutsy.
I mean, it's worth an ask. Mm-hmm. And we find out later, or we know that she's having monetary problems. Ryan doesn't know that, but you know, some people do have spare houses or guest houses they stay in while they rent out their main house for more income.
And when I visit you, I'm like, "Are you sure you don't want to sleep out in the living room while I use your bedroom?"
I would do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at each other suspiciously.
I'm not looking at you at all. I'm looking away because you'll see the lies in my eyes. So as they go inside, she shows him around the guest house. It is very cute and tastefully decorated, but I notice it does not have a TV, and that would give me so many negative stars on Airbnb.
Oh.
But she does have a binder with all the to-dos and festivals around town, including the Winterfest. There's activities every weekend in January, and it closes with the main event where she lets him know that her dance studio will be the closing performance, the most important act.
Ooh.
Cooper says, "Oh no, I'm not going to be performing that night, will I?" And she says, "Oh, no, just my regulars. And I'm sorry, there's no TV. It broke. And I generally don't have people this time of year." Luke says, "Oh, yeah, Terry said he usually booked this place to leaf peepers." And Jenna says, "I prefer foliage enthusiasts."
Yes, you do.
And so they make their plans. Coop has weight training at 10:30. Jenna says, "You can meet me at 11:30. Coop says, "Oh, I gotta eat though." And she says, "Fine, meet me at 12, but don't be late." And she tells him that, "I'm gonna gently guide you through this rehab. I had the same injury as you, and I know how to fix it." And he says, "I hope so, because if I can't fix this, I don't know what I'm gonna do." And just then a voice from downstairs says, "Knock, knock." It's her neighbor, Erin, and she has brought a basket of baked goods that looks suspiciously similar to the basket of baked goods that Jenna gave her at the top of the movie.
I suspect Erin was camped out with binoculars looking for a good time to make her entrance.
Uh-huh, because she knows who Coop is, and she is anxious to meet him.
Uh-huh.
There's introductions all around. The gals leave to let him get settled. Jenna playing it uber cool, saying, "Let me know if you need anything," and Erin leaving being a giggly mess. Which is how I always like to act around famous people.
You know, famous people are just like us.
Mm-hmm. But better looking.
When you have a whole glam squad, that's what happens.
And sometimes they're just naturally, so when you see them, you're like, I don't even know what to do with my eyes. Like, I just want to, like, drink you in. And then it gets awkward.
Are you revisiting when What's-His-Name came into this?
I am revisiting my Magic Mike moment. And see, that's why I said I'm admittedly a giggling mess, because I could not look at him. And he came in very casually and very, like, not made up at all. Just with the trampoline under his arm that he was buying for his son, which was even more.
Aww. Channing Tatum.
Thank you. Channing Tatum. And bonus, buying a trampoline for his son on Valentine's Day.
Aww.
What?
Good man. Good man.
I secretly told my coworker, I said, I bet you $1 billion. He was like, I'm just going to go make some girl's day right now. I really don't need this trampoline, but it's Valentine's Day. And how much would they love seeing me walk into their business? Me, I would love it. And that is the end of my segment, aka fantasy about Channing Tatum.
It's the next day. Jenna is pissed. She's in her ballet studio looking up at the clock. It's 1 p.m. and no Coop. A good hour after he's supposed to be there, a handful of small, adorable boys and girls come into the class, ready to dance. Not long after them, Coop comes in apologizing for being late. He would have been there on time, except there were a bunch of kids outside of the practice rink wanting his autograph. It's a good thing you like kids then, Jenna says. Let's get started. Coop looks around and says, I thought this was going to be a private lesson. Jenna explains that if he had shown up when he was supposed to, he would have gotten a private lesson. However, since he's late, he gets to dance with the kids. She hands him some ballet shoes and announces, Hey class, this is Mr. Cooper, and he's going to be dancing with us today, but this is his first lesson, so he's going to need a lot of encouragement. Can we encourage him? And all these tiny voices say, Yay! They're ready to encourage. Coop sheepishly waves, Am I being shamed? She says, No, you're getting the lesson the Rangers paid for. This is literally what we'd be doing anyways. You think you can keep up? He says, Oh, I got this. But does he? Coop sweats and pants through class while the kids effortlessly leap around him. So we cut to the next day when we see Coop practically crawling to Jenna's kitchen door. He knocks on it, she opens it, and he says, What did you do to me? I was in class with 5-year-olds. Jenna says, Those are the smaller muscles you've been ignoring all your life. Soreness means I'm doing my job, so suck it up, buttercup. She invites him in and gives him a slice of quiche and the tiniest cup of coffee ever. What would you think if you got that much coffee in the morning? If I was like, Hey, welcome to my house. Here, have some coffee. And then I gave you like this little shot of coffee.
It's crazy because it looks like she does like the slow drip, like natural brew
style.
And it seemed like they were sitting for a really long time waiting for that little bit of coffee. So I might just take it and shush up if it's going to take a half hour to get a refill and or a bigger cup.
It's artisanal and it'll be the best coffee of your life.
Then I'll be like, okay, I'm going to drink this little sip. It'll be gone in 2 seconds. Could you please just start pouring some more right now?
He glances over and sees a handcrafted wooden sign on her mantelpiece that says, Hygge Life. What the heck is that? Coop says. Jenna describes it as the ultimate cozy lifestyle. Coop responds, So it's like an existential blanket? And I have to say that this past winter, I was full on into the hygge life with cozy blankets.
You sure were.
Coco and Hallmark movies. I was like, hygge all the way. I bet you Benny's into the hygge life too.
Oh, yes. He's a Hallmark Christmas movie aficionado, specifically Christmas. That's what he said. Christmas movie.
I got to say that Tamara, she gave me the gift that I will always remember because she was down in San Diego and a friend of her friends, Benny, apparently loves Hallmark Christmas movies. And she recorded him as he's ensconced in Lazy Boy chair saying, Oh, yeah, I love those Hallmark Christmas movies. Anything with Lacey Chabert, I'm there for. And my sister and I were thrilled to bits to see this video. And I've got to meet Benny sometime. That's all there is to it.
Yes, because if you saw Benny on the street, you would not think that he is a Hallmark movie aficionado.
Mm-mm.
He has a shaved head. He has a very long beard. He is fond of beanies and he is tatted up to the bejesus. So he looks kind of like, I would say that he's more into like oldies and action movies, but no, he likes the Hallmark Christmas movies and even has a shirt that says so. He let us know that as well.
I know. I'm just like, why I haven't met Benny earlier is beyond me, but
He's like an enigma. He comes around every once in a while, like surprises the hell out of me with something and then disappears for a few months. So, you know, you get little bits of Benny when you can, but that's it.
My sister said that you needed to text him and let him know that he delighted the both of us.
I told him that between laughs because I was dying when he said, oh yeah, I'm a Hallmark movie lover. I got a t-shirt and everything. And I was like, I'm recording this, goddammit. I can't.
Yeah, you are.
No way anybody would believe me if I just told him otherwise. I need to get it documented.
So Coop says that the hygge life sounds pretty good as long as there's a hockey game on. Jenna responds, your life can't be about your career 24/7. He says, want to make a bet? Jenna responds, well, maybe your life should have some balance. When he leaves, she gives him his coffee in a to-go cup. Coop smartly replies, what? You're not going to make mug on a pottery wheel? Good one, Coop. Good one.
Also, that was the biggest to-go mug I've ever seen for a little splash of coffee. Like, she barely, like, tipped it, and then, like, two drops fell out. And she's like, here you go. And I'm like, there's no coffee in there. Like, he's going to pour it into his mouth, and it's going to, like, evaporate before it even gets anywhere close to his face. Later on that day, Jenna is looking at the clock. She's tapping her foot. She's very upset. He shows up a whopping 5 minutes late. How dare he? Oh my gosh. And says, I'm sorry, I got stuck behind a school bus. And I'm like, dude, like, he always blames it on the kids, A. But B, like, I can understand if he was 50 minutes late and her being, like, uber upset. But 5 minutes, mm-hmm. I mean, you can give the guy a little pass. But, you know.
Okay, Tamara, what? I believe it was 6 minutes late.
Okay. Well, forgive me then. 6 minutes is inexcusable.
It's 1 minute too much.
1 minute, 60 more seconds. I'm sorry. I did not realize. But that's how Jenna is, and we love her in all her quirks. She lets him go after she chastises him a little bit. They're running through their poses, and Coop apologizes and says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not 100% because I wasn't able to get into the team's ice bath. The pipes froze, and Jenna says, well, I have an ice bath at home. And he says, oh, you do? And she says, yeah, it's the partially frozen pond in my backyard. And Coop perks up and says, I wouldn't mind taking a polar bear plunge. And I am so disappointed because the rest of the movie almost ruined it for me. I was literally waiting for him to take off his shirt and go do that polar plunge. Spoiler, it never happens.
Aww.
But that was a missed opportunity, Hallmark. You could have seen it. I could see it. Let me tell you what it would look like. He would emerge from the cold water and he'd be so hot and sweaty that steam would just be radiating off of his body and he would just be looking at Jenna seductively as he walks towards her, and she would put her fingers over her mouth and be like, oh.
And he would have saved me, if they'd done that, it would have saved me from the trauma of looking up topless photos yes. of Luke McFarlane.
But the first time we watched this, the first go-round, it actually gave us an idea to do October-chested series that we're going to do in October. So coming soon, October-chested, which will feature only movies where people actually take off their shirts. We're doing this for you so you don't fall under the same disappointment that I did, where you're expecting Luke McFarlane to take off his shirt and it never happens.
Except for maybe one Halloween movie.
Oh, yeah, one Halloween movie. But I'll Photoshop whoever the guys in the movie is face on a bare-chested person.
Nice.
And not make it nasty like Corinne saw.
I like it. Keep the wang out of it, though. You may have a problem.
Wangless, shirtless, you got it. Check, check. They continue to plié and glissade while Jenna explains the fundamentals of why her techniques work, ultimately using manly references to get him to understand. This is like building a house, Coop. You wouldn't build a house without a solid foundation. I'm helping you cement that foundation. And he says, I appreciate your manly description, except if you were building a house, what about the rebar? And Jenna says, well, that's glutes and abs, and I don't touch that. But I actually know what rebar is because my dad was in construction. Booyah. She knows about that stuff too. Good on you, Jenna. Coop reiterates again that he just needs to get back to his life. It seems like a slow coffee-making, quiche-eating, garage-living, non-NHL-playing, no-TV-having existence is not for him. And Jenna asks, well, what if that doesn't happen? You have to have a backup plan. And he says, no, 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 no. Backup plans are for people who expect to fail. And she says, no. Backup plans are for people who do everything in their power, but things just don't go their way. And Coop thinks she's referring to her ankle injury and starts questioning again the effectiveness of her rehab. But she says, that's not what kept me from dancing professionally. And he said, so why did you stop dancing then? But as I stated at the top of this podcast, she doesn't want to talk about it. Thank you very much. They continue on with their rehab, and Coop seems a little more intrigued, and Jenna seems a little more closed down.
Aww.
Cut to Jenna having dinner with their friends Aaron and Matt. Aaron asks about Coop. Where is he? And Jenna shrugs her off her question and says, who knows? I don't care. I gotta keep my work life separated from my personal life. Aaron says, you should invite him out to the Winterfest with us. And Jenna says, nope, not at all. I've made that mistake before. He's staying in the guest house, I'm staying in the main house, and neither the two shall meet. Just then, a TV delivery man walks up to her patio, and she answers the door and says, are you in the right place? And the guy says, yeah, I'm here with the TV delivery. Just then, Coop swoops in and says, oh, man, I told you to take it around the back. And he says, where, to the garage? And I'm like, sweet vindication, Jenna, because everybody thinks that guest house looks like a garage. And he looks at Jenna the same way, with an expression that says, everybody thinks your guest house looks like a garage.
It's because it is a garage, but it's above the garage.
Above the garage, yes. Then a pizza delivery man arrives, and Jenna looks at him disgruntled and asks, are you going to order a hot tub next?
Ooh, yes, please.
And he says, great idea. That would give me more ample opportunities to take off my shirt, which Tamara would be completely okay with. Aaron sees Coop outside and says, hey, Coop, come inside out of the cold. And Jenna gives her some serious side eye, but says, yeah, sure, come on in. Aaron introduces Coop to her husband, Matt. Matt says, why don't you go to the ice bar with us? Much to Jenna's dismay, she says, oh, no, 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 he needs to eat himself into a pizza-induced coma. And Coop scoffs and says, no, I don't. I can eat this pizza in the car.
Yeah, you can.
Erin is totally trying to play matchmaker, and she don't care what Jenna wants.
Oh. Because
you can't always get what you want, but you find some time that you get what you need. Ooh. That's just my take on it. They go to the ice bar, where we learn that Matt is a real estate attorney. He used to play hockey as a kid, but he's not into it that much anymore. And hallmark that for later, because I have some thoughts about Matt and his hockey playing history.
Okay.
They walk around, and Coop tells Jenna, this is totally your jam, isn't it? Cold night, warm drinks, fire tables. And she says, yes, I am nothing if not consistent.
Aww.
Hugga. Coop brings up hockey, and Jenna says, there is more to life than hockey. But as she says that, they happened to be in front of an air hockey table, where Jenna says, do you want to play a couple of games?
A winky winky.
And he says, sure. And she quickly owns him by consistently beating him in air hockey. Little did he know that she had a lot of access to an air hockey table while she was on tour with her ballet company. She mentions it to Coop, and he says, oh yeah, your ballet company. So why aren't you dancing professionally? And she does not want to talk about it. Thanks for asking. Matt and Aaron pop up. Matt says, oh, Coop, dude, do not play against this girl. She's an air hockey shark.
Mm-hmm.
Coop says, thanks for the notice. Well, after I got my booty kicked, they end the night at home. They both said they had a great time. Coop says that's the best time he's had in a while. And Jenna says that she's glad that she came out. So she thawed a little bit in that little hugo cocoon that they spent Aww. Some time in. And they bid each other good night and said they would see each other tomorrow at the studio.
At the studio the next day, Coop is frustrated at the learning curve as he does ballet moves with the grace of the Fantasia dancing hippos. But Jenna assures him that it just takes time and what he's doing is going to work and make him more fluid and dynamic on the ice. They continue their practice when suddenly Felix, one of Jenna's dancers, comes in. He's about 15 and blonde and lithe like a dancer. He's super excited to see Coop. Coop sidles towards him with a friendly grin. So, keep this on the DL, will ya? Felix responds, what's wrong with dance? Suddenly, Coop realizes the line of macho bullshit he's been fed over the years and doesn't want to pass that on to Felix. He's having his man in the mirror moment.
Good on you, Coop. Good on you.
Looking at the man in the mirror.
In the mirror.
And he responds, nothing. I just don't want other players to know my secret weapon. Jenner introduces Felix, letting Coop know that he lives near her and is one of her best dancers. and that he plays hockey. Felix responds more like sits on the bench. Coop gives him the very unhelpful advice of keep on trying and you'll get there. Felix beautifully retorts, yeah, you too. And we move on to our next moment.
That's really, that's great. Oh, that's good.
It's the next day. It's the end of Jenna's rehearsal for Winterfest. Coop is watching as it's right before his lesson. He sees Felix make an incredible leap. Coop approaches him with great admiration in his voice and calls him an incredible athlete. Felix's day is made. It is now later that day, and Jenna and Coop are in the barn. It's supposed to get really cold, and Jenna wants to make sure he has a space heater. He sees her professional dance posters. Wait a minute, Coop says. I've seen you dance. He pulls up a photo of Jenna, several other people, and Coop with a foxy lady by his side. Wow, I don't remember taking that photo, Jenna says. We took a lot of pics with people, but who's that? She asks, pointing at the foxy lady. Coop responds, that was my ex. As soon as I got hurt and I became less popular, she ditched me. Ugh, Jenna responds. You're going to find someone who likes you for who you are outside of hockey. Coop, clearly in the midst of an identity crisis, says, I don't know who I am without hockey. Jenna admits that she used to feel that way about ballet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why did you leave the ballet? Asks Coop. Jenna walks away from him towards the space heater. Let's just say, don't date a coworker, particularly when that coworker is your boss. She grabs the space heater, and as they're walking back towards the house, Coop winces. Jenna asks him if he's okay, concerned that she hurt him during class. No, Coop says, I went back to the rink after our lesson, and I got back on the ice. It felt great, so I went all out on skating drills with the team. Jenna is pissed! You could have torn the ligaments. What's your damage, Heather? You have to trust the process. Trust me. He looks at her softly. I do trust you. Good, she says. Then take tomorrow off and we'll start fresh on Thursday.
I'm so glad Jenna finally wanted to talk about it. That was a nice moment. She opened up.
Just a little bit.
Just like a little flower, like a little tiny bud, just opening up the slightest bit and letting a little info out. The next morning, Erin, her bestie, shows up frantically knocking. I said on Erin's door. Erin does not knock on her own door. The next morning, Erin shows up and frantically knocks on Jenna's door. Apparently, one of Jenna's dancers' moms was trying to cut out expenses and divulged that an evil rival studio was holding tryouts and offering discounts to new dancers. And she's not the only one who's thinking of leaving. Jenna hears this information and does what any rational woman would do and threatens to crawl back into bed until time reverses and everything's back to normal like it was before.
I like her problem solving. I think that's a really good solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
Just gonna crawl under those covers, reverse time, you know, let me know when everything's cool.
Oh, love it.
But, I mean, realistically, she doesn't do that. She says she wants to, but...
Yes.
And she asks Erin if she wants some coffee.
And Erin says, I brought my thimble. I'm ready for it.
Erin says, that sounds great. And Jenna tells her to come back in an hour because that's when it'll be ready.
You're so funny.
I got to learn. Shut up, Tara. Stop laughing until after you say it. Jesus. Okay. Sorry. I am thoroughly entertaining myself.
That's good.
Anyways. No, she goes inside and they have coffee. Don't ever find out how long it takes. A little later that afternoon, Jenna shows up at her studio, and who is standing outside waiting for her but Coop? And she says, what are you doing here? I told you to take the day off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ugh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to keep on trucking. And she says, no, that's okay. I'm really sorry that I snapped at you like that. I just have a lot going on right now. And I'm like, honestly, her snap percentage was probably at like a 30. And when he was late that time, she was like at a 70. So the fact that she like apologizes for that snappiness kind of took me by surprise. But that's Jenna. That's how she is. And we love her. just the same. Coop, wanting to cheer her up and get back into her good graces, asks her to take a walk and says, is there a place a guy can get a good cup of cocoa? And Jenna's face lights up and she says, oh my gosh, yes. Over in the town square, you can get cocoa, you can get hot toddies, you can get hot apple cider. And Coop smiles and says, I know just talking about this stuff would cheer you up.
I like how he says, I knew even talking about something warm and cozy would put a smile on your face. And I was like, swoon!
Oh, Corinne feels that so hard. She needs somebody, anybody out there that has that philosophy and is single, please look up my friend Corinne.
Because he paid enough attention to do something that made her smile versus like him smile and be like, look at this thing that I did that was really cool for you. And she's like, not interested, thanks.
Insightful enough that she likes the warm fuzzies and saw the sign and they've talked about the hug of life.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna thanks him. And over hot beverages in the town square, she finally reveals the details that the studio is not doing so hot. Like all guys do, he tries to fix the problem by saying, I can get more money from the Rangers if that would help. But she says that's not a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, but no thank you. She's just going to get the word out during the Winterfest. Their performance will drum up all kinds of interest in her studio. And he says, but what if that doesn't happen? What's your backup plan? And she scoffs, and I cheer a little bit inside because there's nothing I like better than when you can throw somebody's advice back in their face.
Oh. Oh, is that what you're going to do to me? Is that what you're going to do to me? Huh?
I'm waiting. I'm biding my time. I'm waiting for that choice bit of advice that you don't take that all of a sudden becomes relevant and it's just going to boom, pop up out of nowhere. Then I'm going to tweet about it, put it on social media, and talk about it extensively on this podcast.
That's very understanding of you. Thank you.
And Jenna says, you said that backup plans are for those who expect to fail. And he says, I just care about what happens to you. And she says, I'm going to be fine. I just need to get my enrollment up. And I care about you too, you big lug.
Aww.
I don't think she says that fully, but, you know, kind of, sort of, you get the gist.
She should. The next section I like to call bored puck juggling. Lured by the thwack of puck juggling, Jenna comes out into the backyard. It's evening and Coop is so bored. You know, Jenna says, you're like a stray cat showing up around mealtime. Come with me and let me show you how to make a healthy meal, Mittens. Okay. Why does this nickname not make it throughout the entire movie? Because amazing. Mittens? It's beautiful.
Mittens. That could be his new hockey surname instead of Coop.
Exactly. Mittens. And then why do we not see the meal? So we go on to, they go into the kitchen and it's like they're done with the food. They're cleaning up plates and the conversation ensues. So I wanted to know, what's this healthy meal?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, what's in it? Is it tasty? I want the recipe. No.
Yeah, I'm starting to think, I'm hypothesizing that much like Mix Up in the Mediterranean, our previous episode where they never show people eat. Maybe they're not supposed to show people eating in Hallmark movies, or they try not to, at least.
No. Because then in the movie that we had after, or the last movie that we did, right in front of me, the woman who's in that, she eats like a champ. She's awesome.
I think you said in your fun facts she ate 32 chicken wings for that take.
She said over 30 chicken wings. Yeah.
So that explains everything, because all of those very, very svelte actresses and actors do not want to have to eat 32 takes of bites of food for a scene. So they just allude to food being eaten and don't tell us anything.
So they're cleaning up the dinner plates of the mystery healthy meal. And Coop says, why would someone like you leave ballet? Jenna responds that she was dating Daniel, the creative director of the National Ballet Theater. They were the perfect couple for years. Then she got injured with a high ankle sprain. She thought he and the company would wait for her, but then she was outright replaced by her understudy. You think they're your family, and then I was completely pushed aside, she says. A year later, she found out that Daniel was engaged to her understudy, the new prima ballerina. I was completely replaced, she said. Coop responds, if I don't get back on the team soon, samesies. Jenna responds, I don't understand how people can walk away from things so easily. This time, my studio. Coop says, you're going to be okay. And then he reaches out and cups her hands in his. They look into each other's eyes. It's magnetic. And she asks about dessert. He says, I've got this. Just give me 10 minutes and meet me outside. What do you think he was able to put together in 10 minutes, Tim?
Maybe some jello pudding or could pick up a quick bundt cake from the local Vons down the street, maybe? Nope. That is not what happens because when Jenna comes outside, supposedly 10 minutes later, Coop has orchestrated a full-on s'mores party.
What?
Aaron's there. Matt's there. They have all the accoutrements for s'mores, graham crackers, big sticks to roast them on, big sticks to roast marshmallows on, chocolate.
Not the friends.
Not the friends or the graham crackers. It's like, be specific. Let me paint you this picture completely wrong. Jenna is just touched and her friends say, s'mores party. And she says, oh my gosh, we haven't done this in so long. And they get busy making their s'mores, roasting their mallows, No, sex and marshmallows. That just put all kinds of pictures in my head. Never mind, too painful.
Sticky.
sticky.
Memories?
You would have to smear them all over your head. I'm Googling that too once we're done here.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the mallow roasting, Matt looks over at Coop's hockey stick and says, do you mind if I check out your stick? And Coop says, yeah, man, go right ahead. He takes the stick and he very expertly, shoots a puck into a goal. And Coop says, whoa, I didn't know you played. And Matt admits, yeah, actually, I was almost drafted to the NHL, but my father passed away and I was the only one that could take over his business. So I squashed my pro hockey playing dreams and took over for him, which I was like, okay. Hallmark from previous discussion, he said that he played a little as a kid. Almost going pro is not playing a little as a kid, unless you are retelling this story at 75 years old, when you're like, oh, back in my heyday when I was a youngster, and this guy's maybe in his early 30s.
He's just downplaying his heartbreak. He's downplaying his heartbreak.
That must be maybe just something that happens in Avon, Connecticut. If you've had your heart broken, you downplay the hell out of it. Avon, Connecticut, population 17,000, a.k.a. do not bring your dreams here, or if you do, downplay them and squash them deep, deep down inside and never speak of them again.
That's an elegant motto. It's very concise.
Thanks.
And inspirational.
I should put that on a sign. You know what? I'm going to try it. The Avon, Connecticut, population blankety blank. Welcome to our town. Squash your dreams. They have no place here.
I can't wait for the social media posting with that that sign on it.
I'm promising a lot for this episode. I need to just stop with all my great idea having. So our poor Matt was essentially not living out his dream, living this sort of half-life, shunning hockey, not talking about it, secretly hating on Coop because he was living Matt's dream. But Coop says, I respect you, man, for taking over your family business and doing what needed to be done.
Yeah.
Suddenly, off in the distance, here comes Felix with his father. His father says, hey, guys, I was on my way home from Felix's hockey practice, saw the fire, and just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. Seriously? It's not like a huge garbage fire. It's just a little bonfire in the back of the house. It's not even that big. I have thoughts.
I think he wanted some s'mores.
Oh, you know, he probably smelled the s'mores and was just like, I better go, you check on the safety of this fire. Yeah.
Smelled that marshmallowy goodness and was like, follow your nose. It always knows. And kind of floated on over.
Yes. I would do the same, actually, because I love the smell of marshmallows. I think I've said that before.
I'm keeping it in because it's a good thing. It's the smell of heaven.
It's a great thing. If you don't like the smell of marshmallows, I may not trust you right off the bat. Just saying. Jenna graciously invites Felix and his father over and says, do you guys want to have some s'mores with us? And they say, yes, absolutely. And ask Felix, how was your hockey game? And he says, great, we won, but I sucked at puck handling. And Coop gets a glint in his eye and has an idea. Says, you know what, Felix? I happen to know a really good hockey coach that I can hook you up with. Are you interested? And Felix says, absolutely. I need to improve my skills on that ice. And he says, oh, you know what? I can't drive. Matt. Yeah, Matt. Would you drive me to the ice rink tomorrow? And Matt says, sure, bro, whatever. I got you. And as they continue s'moresing it out, the fire starts getting low. So Jenna says, I better go get some more wood. And of course, Coop says, I'll come help you with my bum ankle. I think he secretly hopes that they have a makeout session in the barn because he keeps following her in there. But as they get in there and grab the wood, he spits some more great business advice. He sees the barn in all its glory and this lighting and says, you know what you should do? You're having problems with your rent? Why don't you convert this barn into a dance studio?
Yeah.
Then you'd be your own boss, essentially. And she says, hell nah, this is a 200-year-old barn. Do you know how expensive that would be? And he says, no. And she goes, well, I do because my dad tried to do it back in the day. He wanted to open an apple cider tasting room, and it didn't pan out.
Mm.
But honestly, I wish he could still here to see it today. The barn, not the apple cider tasting room that never got made. And Coop says, you can totally make this into your studio. If anybody can do it, Jenna, you can. And you feel the KISS tractor beam flaring
Ooh.
Up.
Ooh.
And she says, how can you say that? You hardly know me. And he says, actually, you know me better than anyone, Jenna. And she pauses and says, and I just realized you know me the best too. And they look at each other. What? What? What happened?
Lies. Lies.
Oh.
Luke McFarlane. Coop. Okay. People don't really know you because you're just talky, so I get that you think that she knows you better. But Jenna? No, 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 no. He doesn't know you better than anyone else. You have a best friend that's right out there in the fucking like, fire circle who knows everything about you. No, bestie betrayal.
Okay. Okay. I mean, but they did spend a lot of time together when you're practicing and going over moves and you have to really focus and concentrate on each other and the love tractor beams on, then you might feel like you know somebody a little more than your bestie who you can't make out with unless you're in college and really drunk. Anyways.
Look, we only have that one picture and,
oh, that is.
And our lips never met.
That is fictional. Fiction. That's fictional. Totally fictional. And you said you were going to throw it away. Anyways, let's get back into the moment. Back into the moment. They're
Kiss
looking
tractor
at each other.
Kiss tractor beam.
Tractor beam. Tractor beam. Tractor beam. Tractor beam back on. Tractor beam back on. Okay. Lies shoved aside for the moment. The Kiss tractor beam's back on. He looks at her. She looks at him. They move closer together. They're really close.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, Felix pops in the door and says, hey, the fire's almost out.
No.
And I have a hypothesis about Felix's dad because he comes over unannounced, uninvited to Jenna's house.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone for maybe a couple of minutes and he sends Felix in there to go check on them, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Felix's dad has the feels for Jenna.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting side plot. We do never see Felix's dad's significant other.
Right.
Ah.
You don't see his significant other, and that Kiss tractor beam probably just passed right over his house, and he's still got the feels for Jenna. I'm going to put it out there.
Okay.
Fight me on it if anybody disagrees. I'd love to hear your thoughts around this.
Okay. Kisses interruptus.
Kisses interruptus. Oh my God, I forgot to say that. Kisses interruptus.
Felix. Oh, you Felix. It's the next morning, and Coop is so tricksy, he lures Matt to the rink to coach Felix. When Matt says he doesn't have skates, fear not, you can use Coop's stinky skates. Coincidentally, they're the same size. Felix is great at skating and terrible at puck handling. Matt gives him handy tips. Apparently, thinking of a makeup word during overthinking moments can create awesome results. Flump. Felix is handling the puck like a champ, chanting flump, flump, flump as he goes, and the coaching session has been a success. Jenna and Aaron join them, but there's an ice storm coming in, so they should head home soon. So they do. They head home.
That was going to be our podcast safety word, flump.
Is that why you texted me the other day, flump, 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 in all like all caps?
I thought you'd get it. Flump, flump, damn it.
Flump, 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 flump. We're back at the Hygge house. Jenna is home online on the computer when power goes out. She calls her friends over for power outage game night. What?
Power outage game night.
Power outage game night.
I want to live in that neighborhood. They have power outage game night, s'mores night, baked goods all around. Like, I want to be that neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor, Jenna? Won't you please be my neighbor? Hi, neighbor.
She says yes. She would love to have you as a neighbor.
Yes!
As would I. Right after she hangs up, there's a knock on the door. It's Coop. He wants to make sure she's okay. She's just pissed that he risked injuring his ankle coming over. She lets him know that she's fine. She's got her fireplace, a gas stove, and storm snacks. Coop is incredulous. Miss Healthy has snacks? Jenna responds, all or nothing living isn't living at all. Coop comes back with, then why aren't you expanding your dance studio? Ooh.
Good ooh, Lord. Ooh, what? Ooh. Side note, Corinne has podcast snacks.
Yes, I do. I like to eat them in front of Tam.
She does.
It's funny.
It's torturous. Torturous, I tell you. She enjoys it.
I haven't eaten any snacks in front of you since your dental surgery.
You've been very thoughtful and do it off camera so I can see.
I usually rub it in your face and I'm like, oh, look.
I know. Oh. I know. It's like the seductive eat-a-thon right in front of me, and I'm like, God damn it, why didn't I bring any snacks myself? Jesus, Jenna.
I frequently wonder that myself.
I know.
Jenna replies, that's different. Aaron and Matt let themselves in. We brought the poker set, they yell. Jenna comes out of the kitchen. Hey, that's not fair. Y'all know I can't bluff to save my life. Aaron, looking inspired, says, but Coop doesn't know that. Y'all are so cute together. Kissy, kissy, kissy. Jenna is trying to subtly cut her friend off from these embarrassing but true accusations when Ryan comes in from the kitchen. Hey, he says, he's obviously heard. So let's change the subject. Poker time.
Poker time.
Poker time. Turns out Jenna is truly terrible at bluffing. Coop wins power outage poker. Blah, 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 blah. Power outage poker bragging rights. And the party breaks up. It's not safe for Coop to go outside. Plus, he won't have any heat. So the unwed people spend the night together. Dun, dun, dun. So they sleep on two separate couches together in front of the fire with a million candles. Like a million candles. Like so many candles.
I'm surprised the neighbor's dad doesn't show up with that fire all around the house.
Or somebody showing up thinking there's an alien invasion because the house is just glowing. They stare at each other adoringly from across the couches and wish each other good night. It's morning and Jenna and Coop are woken up by Jenna's phone. She finds out a power line is down and they can't do rehearsal. So he suggests they should go to the rink together.
Dang it, missed opportunity. You were talking about poker power outage game night and I missed a chance to sing. She had a terrible poker face, poker face, poker face, poker face,
You've been holding out on me.
I know. Okay, delayed reaction. You know, we try to squeeze in as much song stylings as we can and I completely missed my moment. Anyways, I digress. So they are off to the hockey rink. Coop figures it's a great time for Jenna to step into his hockey world and get a taste of his life. When they get to the rink, Jenna realizes there's nobody there. And Coop's like, oh, did I tell you that practice got canceled?
Mm.
So they have the rink all to themselves.
Coop is so tricksy.
He's very tricksy. He likes that trickster. And he digs around in his bag. pulls out an even smaller, probably equally stinky pair of ice skates and says, I was hoping I could show you a thing or two on the ice. And Jenna says, I never said I didn't know how to ice skate. I just said I don't like ice skating.
Ooh.
But she yields. And she lets him take her out on the ice, and they skate around, and they do practice shots, and they do a double skate backwards around the rink, and she goes off on her own, and she's getting the hang of it. She's starting to get in the swing of skating, and she, whoa, can't stop herself. Jesus Christ, which I've always had a problem with, stopping myself ice skating.
Remember that time we went ice skating with your mom in Fresno, and we went to me and Ed's pizza afterwards?
No.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. How old were we?
Oh, we were full-on adults at that point in time.
Oh, man. I swear to God, sometimes the memories that you bring up, I'm like, I don't remember that, and I wish I would, because that'd be a nice memory to have of my mom.
It was a good memory.
I remember when we went ice skating for your birthday.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and I fell, and I got a huge bloody lip and scared all my friends.
That's probably why it's burned into my memory. Speaking of not being able to stop with the ice skates.
Aww.
As she almost falls, Coop catches her, just like, I should have caught you back then, Corinne. I was equally unskilled on skates as you were, if not more so. He catches her in his arms, and she looks up at him and says, you saved me. And he looks down at her and says, you saved me. And she completely misreads the signs and says, well, how is your ankle, by the way? And he said, I wasn't talking about my ankle.
Ooh.
Aww. Swoon.
Swoon.
They keep on skating. They're having a great time. Just as Jenna's phone rings. The streets are back open. She can have her late practice after all. They head to the Stude, and before her class starts, she decides to hang up some promotional flyers, and Coop says, I'll help you. So they take a stack and they hit the streets, and as they're popping them on phone poles and walls, Jenna spies the traitorous mother in the distance also putting up flyers. She runs over to it. The mom flees in shame. And as Jenna looks at the flyer, she realizes it's the other studio, the competition studio. And they've snagged the premier spot in the show. Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Did you notice when they're putting up the flyers that they're magically adhering to surfaces?
Yeah. That's they're a sticky like... surface. That's a really dirty wall.
You don't know what, you don't want to know what that wall's been through.
Yeah. Do we need to bring some tape or a stapler, Coop asks? And Jenna says, no, the walls are sticky enough. Don't ask me why. You don't want to know. But seriously, Jenna realizes that the other competition studio has snagged their premiere spot in the Winterfest, even though Jenna's studio was promised that spot. Ooh. Jenna is understandably upset, but Coop looks at her and says, this gal needs a hockey pep talk. Jenna, those bitches are pulling a power play. Don't lose your cool. Defend your house. Do the best you can and make it count. That'll be the best revenge. And she says, yeah. They walk back to the studio and see Felix. Felix is standing on his own, waiting for class to start, when he's approached by his hockey-playing buddies who say, hey, Felix, we're going to go do some practice shots. Do you want to come? And he says, no, sorry, guys, I got to dance. Before the group of boys can say anything else, here comes Coop and says, hey, Felix, how's it going? The boys recognize him and say, holy cow, it's Ryan Cooper. And he says, yeah, I'm just here with Felix. We're waiting to take ballet class. And they're like, you take ballet? And he says, I sure do. And I would have freaking fracking loved that moment as a kid, having one of my idols come by and see, like, whatever this kid's doing, I'm doing too. And it's pretty honking cool.
Cece DeVille, you missed your opportunity.
Oh, God. Hateful. No. I should have learned how to contour and put my makeup on like him. Damn, oh. Skippy. That man had some, he had some makeup skills. As they walk into the studio, Coop asks Jenna, you know, maybe you should consider rehabbing other athletes as an additional revenue stream. Scream?
Stream.
You've done... You've done... additional revenue scream.
It's healing. It's new agey.
people just come to your ballet studio and stretch and learn some moves, and every time it hurts, they scream their ever-loving head off. It'll be glorious.
Cathartic.
Coop asked Jenna if she would use rehabbing other athletes as an additional revenue stream. Because she did so well with him and his ankle. He tells her that he can get her in touch with all the NHL hockey coaches. And again, Jenna turns down his great business proposal because it's competition and that is not what I'm all about. And Coop says, I'm going to tell you what your cousin Terry told me. You have to be more flexible or you're going to run out of options. You don't want to do sports rehab or competitive dance, which is still totally in her wheelhouse, which I don't understand myself because it's not like they're asking her to go out and do construction to keep her passion project afloat.
When you hear competitive dance, she's like thinking Abby.
Dance Moms.
Dance Moms. And that's a horror show.
It doesn't have to be that way, though. You know, I realize that, but she can make her own narrative. She is the dance studio owner. She can make it competitive dance. It can be tastefully done. There's not going to be a huge market for a television reality show around it, sure. But she can do it and be successful at it and still be in a happy place, I believe, if she was just more open to it.
I agree with her not wanting to go the competitive dance route because that's like a different animal. However, her rehabbing athletes is not competitive.
Yeah, 100%.
When they're on the team, they're being competitive. But when she's rehabbing them, she's just helping them to be like the best them. Not competitive.
Yeah. But Jenna is set in her ways, see?
Yes, she is.
That's just how she is. She's not being flexible, and Coop's trying to kick her down that path, but she's refusing to go. She smiles and shuts him up by saying, let's go to class. There is a beautiful ballet montage.
Oh.
There are pliés. There are glissades.
Ooh.
There's Coop spinning and losing his balance and falling. There's alternately kids doing a bang-up routine with heartfelt music playing in the background. A little later across town, Matt is at the hockey rink and sticks around to watch Felix's game. Felix is doing so much better. He is owning that M&F'n puck.
M&F'n? Oh, oh, you watch your language there, Missy.
I don't know why I just think. As before, see, these notes were prior to our language disclaimer, so I didn't know which direction we're going
to
go.
You need me to replay the old episode? There's a language disclaimer on it. Please.
Motherfucker. Okay, they're fine. Motherfucker. He's owning that motherfucking puck. Oh, my goodness. That felt good. That felt real good.
It's like Scream Ballet.
Okay. So Matt's there. He surprisingly jumped right back into hockey with both feet. Felix's dad, standing right beside him, says, you know, we were thinking, do you want to be Felix's hockey coach? We all in town remember how close you came to becoming pro, and maybe hockey wasn't in your cards, but coaching is. Matt looks happy, but not fully sold on the idea. Says, I'll think about it. And Coop's right beside him and decides to spit some more wisdom and says, there's a million reasons to say no, but if you can find the courage to say yes, great things will happen. That literally could be on an inspirational poster or a fortune cookie.
Aww.
Either one. But today it came out of Coop's mouth. A little later, he's standing by the ice, looking longingly as the wolf pack skates back and forth, practicing. He's standing there with Jenna when a player stops in front of him and says, hey, Coop, do you want to skate drills with us? And he says, nah, sorry, bud, I can't. I'm just here for my physical. And Jenna says, yes, which you passed with flying colors. Now get your cutie patootie booty out on that ice.
Yeah.
Which I said she didn't. And he looks like a kid who was just told he could finally go outside and play. He runs off to get his skates and kills it on the ice.
Ooh,
off to the side, there is a guy taking video, watching all the improvements that Coop's made. Maybe that'll come up later, perhaps.
Ooh.
Maybe not. After he practices with the wolf pack, Jenna's driving him back to their place. And he says, wow, I'm pretty much done with rehab. Now the only thing to do is keep on practicing with the wolf pack and wait for the Rangers to call me back. He sees that Jenna looks a little disappointed and says, but it could be a while. And Jenna lights up a little and says, well, the guest house is yours for as long as you want it. Or at least until leaf peeper season starts.
Oh, then you're out on your ass.
She asks if he would accompany her to the Winterfest later that evening, and he says, I'd love to. As he looks happily out the window, thinking about going back to the big leagues, Jenna looks out, equally sad and a little remorseful that she was so good at rehabbing his ankle that he's soon going to be out of her life, possibly forever. Or perhaps she'll go all Cassie Bates in Misery and take a sledgehammer to his leg. But no, this is Hallmark, and that doesn't happen here.
She goes the classier route and calls Tanya Harding and says, can you connect me with the person who kneecapped Nancy Kerrigan, please?
No, that makes more sense because it's ice skating. Okay, gotcha. 100%.
So it's later that evening and Jenna and Coop hang out at the last night of Winterfest before the big performance. They pass by a sock stand and she grabs some cute ballet socks and says she's getting them for Coop. And he buys the hockey socks and they do a sweet sock swapperoo. Just as Coop's about to confess his feelings, hey, look, it's cousin / sports manager Terry. He's been looking all over for them and the team wants Coop back. Terry says they saw the video of you playing 4-on-4 with the Wolf Pack and they want you home tonight. I can't wait to take you there. Coop asks for a moment with Jenna. He wants to be there for her performance, but Jenna says, no, this is everything you've wanted. Of course, you have to go. And she sends Coop off with Terry saying, I have a ton of stuff I have to do at the studio before tomorrow. Way to emotionally wuss out, Jenna. Way to emotionally wuss out. And Terry and Coop leave, and Jenna looks off sadly, reaches out her hand towards their departing figure, and says, he could have been mine. He could have been mine.
I missed that part. I might have just not been paying attention when that happened.
I can't help if you're not, like, picking up on the finer details of the Hallmark movies.
Touche. The next day, Jenna goes to the performance with her hands still outstretched. I'm just kidding. She doesn't. The next day.
She's just muttering throughout the rest of the next day, he could have been mine.
Mittens! Mittens!
Yes! 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 Oh my gosh.
Mittens! Oh.
Mittens!
Come back to me, Mittens!
Come back! I promise
she bangs.
I promise.
She bangs a little dish because she said he was a cat that always showed up during mealtimes.
Mittens!
Mittens! Oh, Lord. Okay. No, she walks into the performance area with her hand down to check out the set. There's tinsel everywhere, there's cool blue hues, snowflakes flanking the stage. Jenna looks around sadly and thinks there's not enough beige in this performance. But since she has no say-so, she just walks around muttering,
too many colors, what the fuck?
Just then, Aaron and Matt run in to say, Coop's playing! He's playing in the game tonight! Aaron shoves her phone at Jenna, who says, I thought they were just going to practice for a while. And they say, no! Your rehab was so amazing that they put him in tonight! Aaron and Matt are watching the game excitedly, and Jenna's looking the other way, as if she can't look directly at it, until he makes a goal! 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 She finally steals a glance at the screen and sees a close-up of Coop as he flashes his veneered smile at the camera. Ugh. And Jenna whispers, way to go, Coop. She's getting a little teary-eyed and Aaron asks, isn't there a way you could make it work? And she says, no, it's fine. This is what Coop wanted. And it's finally Matt's turn to spit some wisdom and says, maybe at first, but I think he wants more of what he found here. Jenna finally full-on starts crying and says, I'm really gonna miss him, as Aaron goes to comfort her. Meanwhile, Coop is at the end of his game. He killed it. He skates off the ice and his coach says, you look 10 years younger. He says, thanks, and goes out and does a victory lap around the ice, and I gotta hand it to the director because he keeps the shot so tight that you almost can't tell there's only about 50 people in the stands. But I really need to critique that they don't funnel in some some crowd noises because there's literally like five people going, woo, yay, Coop. So just my feedback, Hallmark, I'm sure you're listening to this. Take note.
Hallmark comes to you for all the good advice, as do I.
They do. They do. They needed to come here before they made this movie, and I would have helped them out with that.
Yes.
After he comes back to his coach, he says, you know, do you mind if I just skip the press conference? I've got something really important I have to take care of. Meanwhile, back in Avon, the winter performance is in full swing. Jenna is giving her kids a pep talk. You know the routine. Just go out there and do your best. Everything will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Go team!
Go team!
Marion Green, who I'm assuming is the event coordinator, comes over and inquires if the rumor's true that Jenna got Ryan Cooper back on the ice. And instead of Jenna giving her an earful for changing the performance lineup without telling her and pushing her troop to a less prestigious spot, she takes the high road and says, I didn't think many people knew. And Marion says, honey, everybody knew. We didn't want to invade his privacy. And the local football coach is thinking that ballet may help his players to get more strength training. Then a voice from the distance says, ooh. Yeah, but ballet's not about winning. Jenna turns around and it's Coop.
Yay!
And they give each other a huge hug.
Mittens!
And she folds into his arms.
Mittens, you're back.
Mittens came home.
Yay.
Oh, God. And he says, I've showed up, so that means it should be close to dinner time, right? And she says, no. Okay. He says, I have so much to tell you. And she says, I thought we said everything. Marion, the cock blocker, sticks her head between him and says, Ryan Cooper, you're here.
And I say, you said nothing that needs to be said. You said nothing that needs to be said. Jenna. You wussed out, Jenna.
I know. I know. She just, you know, that's just how she rolls. She's a closed book. Mm. She's a closed book and you have to pry those pages open.
Consent, Tamara. Consent.
I'm sorry. I got a little carried away. I'm reeling it back. Okay. You be that closed book, Jenna. We'll just place you gently and lovingly back on the shelf and that's how you can stay for the rest of your time. Marion asks if Coop is going to be in the performance that night. But he says, yeah, it's about the kids, not me. And besides, I don't know the routine. But if you don't mind, can I introduce them? And Marion says, of course, you're Ryan Cooper. Great moment number two comes in 3, 2, 1. Having your struggling dance company be endorsed by a beloved professional hockey player.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's when Coop says, we didn't say anything that needs to be said and looks deeply into her eyes.
That's a good moment, but it's not a great moment.
I'd say it's a great moment.
The great moment. Okay. Agreed.
I felt like he was talking
apples
to me.
Apples and oranges. Say that again, Coop, with your shirt off. Then I'll call it a great moment.
Not topless, though. Not topless. Just with your shirt off.
No. We've established not topless. Except I still am going to Google that at the end of this show. Anywho, Coop takes the stage. The crowd goes wild. And he says, I'm not used to all these applause. Ha ha ha. Today was my first game back. But I owe...
Because there were only five people today in the stands when I played.
Let me get through this. Today, it was my first game back, but I owe all of that to Jenna Wagner. He motions to the side of the stage, and she just looks at him and kind of like waves. And he's like, get your butt out here, and waves her on. And so she finally like pokes her head past the curtain and waves to the crowd, much to everybody's delight. He says, being in Jenna's ballet class made me more flexible, more humble, and a more balanced person.
Aww.
Jenna showed me that if I never play hockey again, which I totally plan on doing, nobody worry, I will be okay because of her. And the most important thing I've learned, he puts down the mic, he opens up the bottom button of his coat, and does a perfect ballet twirl.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Picks the mic back up. So good. So good. Picks the mic up and says, now without further ado, the Avon Ballet Company.
Woo!
The kids come out and kill it. Yes. That Felix is a talented guy.
Yes, he is.
Jenna leaves the stage as her dancers exit, and she says, I am so proud of all of you guys. And I just have a question, because I think that the boys in this ballet company got a little shortchanged on the costume design, because the girls are wearing beautiful lavender tutus, uh-huh. and the boys are in white t-shirts and black leotards. You know, just something a little more festive, or at least something that matches or complements the girls.
So you're saying that they should have had like some lavender suspenders and no?
Lavender wings, maybe. Ooh. I don't know. Like, you can get creative. You could just put your own ideas here.
I like it. Your ideas are so much better.
Lavender wings. Maybe even just lavender leotard pants that match the girls' lavender leotards and tutus.
Because if they had lavender wings when Felix does his final, like, leaping pass, it would be amazing to have those wings fluttering out behind him.
Right?
Genius.
Yes.
You are a genius.
Yes. Thank you. Hallmark, take note. After Jenna congratulates her dancers that did a fabulous job, her and Coop leave the venue to talk somewhere more privately. Jenna asks him how he got there so fast. He was there just in time for her performance. And he said, you know, I just borrowed the Rangers owner's helicopter.
As you are wont to
just
do.
No big whoop. Yeah, no big whoop. And she says, I thought getting back to your team was what you wanted. And he said it was. Until I met you.
Aww.
And Jenna says, come on, don't you want to go back to your real life? And Coop says, the moments I've had here have been realer than anything I know. Plus, there's no rule that says I have to stay in New York during the off season. Mm-hmm. Those moments off the ice, being close to you, are what life's all about. I believe there's a word in Denmark that describes it, possibly hygge. And don't worry, Jenna, I know you've been hurt before, but I'm not going to be here today and gone tomorrow. Yeah. I'm here to stay. I kiss tractor beam on, love, kiss tractor beam on higher, you full on kiss tractor beam, Jenna Wagner. And they kiss.
Yay!
And she says, after they break away, and I was a little nervous because for a couple of beats, she just looks at him. She finally says back, I love you, Ryan Cooper. And the camera pans out and they show the square and the twink lights. And so is this potentially another Hallmark formula that you got to exit on twinkly lights or candles? I don't know. And the end.
Aww. So I work at a chiropractic office, and we had a client who was a professional hockey player, and he had a romance with a woman in San Francisco from when he was playing on the Sharks, and he ended up getting transferred to a different team, and so in his off season, he would come out and stay in San Francisco.
Oh, it's... I am so close to the screen as you were telling that story. I'm like,
it's just like taking a shot at love.
Please tell me it's got a happy ending.
Yay.
Oh, real romance dreams can come true.
Yes. He was a super nice guy too, by the way.
Oh, was he hot though?
He was very cute. He wasn't Luke McFarlane cute, but he was very cute.
So when you say cute, is it like you were potentially cute at one time, but you got pummeled by many a hockey puck? So you're good. Okay.
I don't mean bulldog cute. Mm-hmm. I mean like cute, cute.
I'm just going to have to come pay a visit to your office sometime. Just, you know, let me know when he's scheduled next, and I'll bring some cookies or donuts or a video camera to record his comings and goings, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That sounds super chill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No HIPAA violations going on there.
Does that violate HIPAA rules? If he's in the lobby, though, isn't that like fair game?
Oh, yeah. No. Like, if I were to tell you specifically who he was and all that, that would be a HIPAA.
Okay.
HIPAA violation. That would be a HIPAA violation. But if you just happened to drop by when he happened to be there, that would be a different matter entirely. Okay, Mittens.
What do you rate this movie?
I rate this movie solid 4 stars. It was like a solid good movie. Her best friend was black, so there was a little bit of diversity in there, but I wouldn't really call it diversity. I'd call it more like city, you know.
Marion Green was Asian too. That should be noted. That she, all of her 30 seconds on the camera should count, right?
And then there was also Alexa Peña Vega, so who's...
Oh, yeah. But she's of Danish descent in this movie.
Meh. You know. It gets the 4-star, really, for Luke McFarlane, because... Hi, lover. Hi, Mittens. I'm waiting for you, Mittens.
I'm also going to give it 4 stars, but Luke McFarlane's going to bump it up to a half. So 4.5
Ooh.
Stars. Because this is one of our OG episodes, yes. One of the first ones I watched. So it has a near and dear place in my heart. Luke McFarlane just punches it up to the next category because he's so gosh darn adorable. And at this point, I've probably watched this movie like 12 times and I'm still not sick to death of it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sick, but not sick to death. So it holds up.
Next on our docket for Swoon in June.
That's how we should say it. Swoon in June. There she is.
Is Wedding Every Weekend with Paul Campbell and Kimberly Sustad.
Ooh.
Yes. Looking forward to this one. This is my pick and I'm excited for it. Plus, there's a little bit of lesbian action in it too. So, hello.
Wedding Every Weekend. I can't wait. Can't wait. Wedding Every Weekend. Woo woo.
You should be surprised and delighted. And do you have anything else you wanted to share with our beloved listeners?
Luke McFarlane, I love you. Thank you for being the subject matter in our June Swoon 2nd episode.
I think everyone wants to know where you are on your solid food journey.
Oh, God. Thursday, I have my follow-up appointment, and hopefully we'll be on normal food after that. Thank the Lord.
She currently can eat things that are the consistency of a banana.
And I miss chips. Chips, chips, chips. Miss them, miss them, miss them. So if you can, please, anywhere you're listening, rate and review us. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we are looking for those 5-star ratings.
Yes, so far we have 5 reviews. Count them. 5. Amazing on Apple Podcasts. And I am hoping that we get to 10 reviews.
Oh, we're setting goals now. Ooh, that's ambitious. I like it.
I know. I'm a trying. It's just we got some Spotify listeners and stuff. It's just we love them and appreciate them, but also reviews always appreciated.
Or if you'd like us to cover a certain movie that you want us to go over in this podcast, you can reach out and contact us at onedrykiss@gmail.com, one spelled O-N-E.
We are going to be doing in July, Christmas in July, which is very traditional in the Hallmark world. Suggestions? Please let us know.
Corinne has tons.
Oh, well, yeah, I do.
She has an arsenal full of suggestions. I need somebody in my camp to help me out because I have not watched nearly as many as she has.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, which the fabulously savvy Tamara Cozio manages. Or you can follow us on Twitter, which I... not so savvily manage. Oh, at One Dry Kiss. When you email us, you can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com. And you can find us on all the platforms at One Dry Kiss, which Tamara likes to say is spelled...
O-N-E. Kiss spelled yes. K-I-S-S. Wait, dry. There's a dry in there. God damn it. O-N-E-D-R-Y-K-I-S-S.
O-N-E-D-R-Y-K-I-S-S.
K-I-S-S. And we thank you for joining us for this lovely episode during our June Swoon season. We hope you join us next time, and we bid you adieu with one
dry
kiss.
Mwah.
Mwah.
Hey.
Thanks for listening.
Woo. Thanks for listening. Hi.
Hi. I hope you're eating something soft and mushy.
I'm back.
Are you eating something soft and mushy in solidarity with your dear friend?
Yes. Absolutely.
What are you eating? Let me see it.
I don't have it with me.
You didn't just bring it over on a plate?
Uh-uh.
Over on that side of the screen over there? Just a little bit?
No.
No? Okay.